And I believe we are live. Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. Hi, Leo.
It's a well, it's a pleasure to have you as one of our speakers, but it's also very nice to see you present about PG Max because I found your talk to be very didactic and very visual. So thank you for taking the time to do a very nice presentation. I wanted to give you the opportunity, as I do with other speakers, to maybe talk about some stuff that you could not include into the talk because of the format. So is there anything you'd like to share with viewers that you weren't able to include?
Oh, I think I gave most of the relevant information. This is a fairly young application. I've been developing this since roughly the beginning of the year, so there are probably some rough edges that people will run into if they use Postgres differently from what I do, or they hear maybe conflicts with some other Emacs packages that people use that I don't use. So I would really welcome people trying it out and sending out bug reports if they do encounter some.
Yeah, I
That'll
mean
help.
it's usually. Go on, please.
Yeah, that would certainly help to make sure it's nice and robust. And of course, if you're letting this loose on some production database that you might have, you want this to be quite robust, obviously.
Yeah, indeed. Because usually, when you start publishing packages like this, that's when you realize that it has bad interaction with other modes in the Emacs of other persons. But especially when you're dealing with databases, you also realize that the domain space of what you're trying to do with your mode also is hugely dependent on what people have in their database, which schema they have. So indeed, if you have been interested, and I think plenty of people have been interested by what you've presented, part of the reason a software becomes great is that you've got plenty of people making bug reports and making sure that all the faults have been ironed out. So you know what your task is. I will also task you, particularly right now, people currently viewing, to add your questions on the pad as usual, because you've had plenty of nice reactions, but I'm sure you have plenty of questions as well. So Eric, what I'll be doing, I'll be reading you the questions so that it's a little more didactic. Starting with the first one. This is brilliant, thank you. Do you know if PG Max works with Tramp? I often use Tramp multi-hop to access databases, both remotely when accessing via Bastion server and locally when using OCI containers. I believe you've already answered, but if you could just perhaps read your answer as well for everyone to benefit from it.
Yep, sure, that's my comment indeed. So I haven't currently implemented any Tramp support. I'm not sure that Tramp is really useful for this type of situation, because as I understand it, Tramp is establishing SSH connections itself to remote servers. PG Max is doing the same thing, so it's not it doesn't currently have any support for hooking in with the Tramp support.
Right.
And
Pardon
as I
me if
read
I
here,
missed this presentation. Oh, go on, please.
I guess you could set up an SSH tunnel. It does work with an SSH tunnel, obviously, but there's no support for hooking into an SSH tunnel that Tramp might be able to create. I'm not sure Tramp actually uses SSH tunnels rather than direct commands, but anyway, I will
Yeah,
look
I don't
into
think so
that might
either.
be useful.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't have the answer whether Trump actually can create tunnels like this. I'm usually used to Trump connecting to an endpoint, be it a directory or a file, and just the tunnel is just you accessing the file. But usually, if you're trying to access a remote Postgres database, you would probably manage the port forwarding in a separate terminal just to be able to make sure that everything maps correctly to your machine. And then you would launch PG Max with the forward port information. I assume how you would do it anyway. But yeah, I mean, if you could specify what you mean by Tramp support, and if you have something specific in mind, I'm talking to the questioner, feel free to specify and we'll see if you can answer it. But in the meantime, moving to the next question. Great work, I'm impressed. How did you come up with this brilliant idea? I assume to create PG Max.
Well, thanks for the compliment. It's a lot of fun developing something which is, as I said, such a small amount of code, and which provides quite a bit of useful functionality. In particular, if you compare it with existing terminal mode applications for manipulating Postgres data, they are not as extensible as Emacs is naturally. So I actually got the idea for developing this when I saw the when I first tested out the SQLite mode, which is available in Emacs 29.1. And I thought, well, that's really quite impressive, and it allows you to delete rows and insert content and so on. And I was thinking, yeah, Emacs is a useful environment to do that. And since several years ago, when I was doing my PhD, so to avoid doing my PhD, I was developing Emacs. I was developing stuff in Emacs Lisp, and one of the libraries I developed was an interface to Postgres over the network. So that's the library called pg.el, which is used by pgmax to access Postgres and to do all the parsing of data which arrives in Postgres formats into the Emacs Lisp corresponding versions. So for example, integers are passed as Emacs integers, floating point numbers as floating point numbers, and so on.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's pretty needed, obviously, when you have such a tooling like this to make sure that the type conversion works properly, because the types that you have in Postgres do not necessarily map all the to what we have in Emacs. Like, I'm interested, how would you handle G's and B colons in pgmax?
JSON is mapped to a dictionary. So at least for the, it depends on the top level object type for your JSON column. If it's an array, it's mapped to an Emacs Lisp array. If it's a dict, which is most common, it's mapped to an Emacs Lisp dictionary.
All right, well, makes perfect sense.
So I can break in with a question, Leo.
Don't go in.
Thanks. I just helped myself to the BBB privilege of kind of running around being a helper backstage. So thanks for your awesome talk, Eric. I super appreciated it. You know, I noticed that you that you're on a slightly older version of Emacs. I deal with in helping with producing the Windows binaries, I run into, and with some other stuff I do, I'm dealing with that friction of, you know, sometimes I've got some work of my own that applies against a specific version of Emacs, and it's a bunch of work to think about moving it forward. I'm just curious if you started thinking about that, or if that's a routine that you haven't done, or if there's something maybe specifically going on with, you know, with trunk development that looks intimidating to deal with.
Thanks for the comment. I'm not sure I'm using a really old version for Windows. I don't really develop often on Windows, but I occasionally check that it works. And I took a screenshot that I included in the slides here, but I think I'm using 29.4, the current version on Windows.
I thought I saw 29.1, so that's probably I probably missed it when it went by. My bad.
No, it's, I use it via the Choco package updater, so that updates the Emacs version quite easily on Windows. So thanks for your work on maintaining Windows binaries. I realized that.
I sit downstream at the end of a lot of other people's hard work, and then just focus on trying to QA it well and help catch problems early. It's really fun, but of course, my pleasure.
Coming back to the previous question, so the questioner actually provided a little more context. So with docker.el, kubel, etc., it's often possible to, for example, select a container, pod, or whatever that is hosted on a machine you've connected to via trunk, such as podman, colon, image, colon, path, and trigger a terminal shell as well as port forward on other similar things. It'd be nice to be able to use this tool in a similar way, since it would open up the ability to use it with complex connection configuration. Doing SSH tunnel manually is, of course, totally fine in practice. And if it is actually the case, personally, when I need to remote into a Kubernetes machine, I use POSIX script that I use on most of my machines, but I don't do it inside Emacs. But yeah, if such a thing is possible via Tramp, it definitely feels like it would be possible to do something similar in PGEmacs. So perhaps that's a path of investigation for you that has opened up.
Yeah, thanks for these comments. I'll look into that. Indeed, if people have some shortcuts registered in Tramp, so not for a terminal, because PGEmacs won't work through a terminal, but through a port forward, then that would be convenient. I'll see how easy that is to set up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the way it works is that it starts some processes in the background in your Emacs just to either maintain the port forward or to maybe remap some kubeconfigs or whatever. So with PGEmacs, considering complex pipelines to get to the end destination, it feels like it would be possible to do something. But perhaps it's not the responsibility of PGEmacs, perhaps it's the responsibility of another, perhaps something that would target Tramp more so than PGEmacs. But it's nice to see, again, how the beauty of Emacs is that everything is ELISP at the end. And the way they interact, you might want to question yourself whether this belongs more to PGEmacs or more to Tramp. But at the end of the day, both applications will be able to benefit from the functions of the other. So that's the beauty of the philosophy right here. I do see.
Absolutely, I agree. Sorry, before we move to a different question, just an additional point. I should point out that to warn people that probably running over an SSH tunnel is going to be a bit slow. I mostly use it on my own machine via a local Unix connection. And for some reason that I haven't understood, PGEmacs is quite a bit slower when it's even on the connecting to the same database on the local machine, but via Emacs's network support instead of via the Unix socket support. There is a factor 10 difference in throughput and in latency. I don't really understand why currently, because it's using exactly the same Emacs Lisp level primitives. And when you do this using other libraries like libpq, which is the Postgres standard official library for connecting to Postgres, there's not such a performance difference. So there's probably something that is not working perfectly in the Emacs network support. I'll have to see whether I can investigate how to improve that performance.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a great bug to have, because it feels like it will allow you to dig deeper into Emacs to understand what is going on here. Because as you said, normally it's supposed to work exactly the same, especially if it's still in your local machine, but it doesn't. So that's personally, that's the kind of bug that I really like and that I'd like to spend more time investigating. So perhaps you might think otherwise, but I wish you luck on the debugging with this particular matter. All right, moving to the last question that we have, and then we'll probably go on a little bit of a break. Question, is SQLite mode also capable of all of this functionality, table relations, etc.? If not, will it be possible to abstract out this functionality from PGEmacs somehow?
So I'm not very familiar with SQLite mode because I don't really use it very much myself. I'm not sure I can answer that question. Sorry about that. I think it is probably a bit more basic, because SQLite itself is quite a bit more basic in terms of the types of indexes it's able to support and the types of constraints it's able to support. Is it relevant to create an abstract API for connecting to databases? That I think there is already actually a library that abstracts out from SQLite and Postgres when you connect to it via a PSQL subsystem. It might be worthwhile doing that, but there are often a few minor differences in SQL syntax and so on between databases. So it might be difficult to have something that really works with generic queries in an effective way. All these SQL dialects are a little bit different, unfortunately.
So yes. There was another question about I was just going to read out the next question. So have you thought about integrating your work into the Emacs tree? Do you know if people are interested? This was a question from the pad.
Yeah, I think it's probably a bit young to do so so far. Because I'm updating it quite regularly. Maybe once it's more stabilized, I wouldn't necessarily object to this. I have some sort of philosophical objections to giving away my copyright, so I'm not sure that it will actually be possible. But
That'd be interesting. I'd love to get you on, like, maybe a panel talk about that sometime.
Something I'd think about. Well, from a very simple point of view, I think that the copyright and the system works well with the existing license and without a license transfer. So I don't feel that without a copyright transfer, I don't feel that the copyright transfer is really a necessary step for taking things away from maintainers. It feels like asking the maintainers to give up on some of on their copyright.
Indeed, yeah, I see where that's a little beyond our scope, but it's a fascinating topic, and I appreciate you sharing your views there. I mean, that sounds like a whole topic of its own, frankly.
Colvin, do you want to field the last question?
Sure. So the question was, I almost missed this one, so glad I didn't. This may have been answered already. What do you use for in buffer tables? Do you use VTable?
Yep, thanks for that question. It is indeed VTable. However, it's not really VTable. It's a fork that I made, which is called PGMax table, because VTable doesn't have exactly the right functionality, in particular for recoloring rows when you add a row. So I have currently forked this. I'm thinking about giving those back as patches to VTable, plausibly. I know that there is some ongoing work also on VTable in the core, so I'll have to look at what is plausible to feed back into the main version.
All right, great. I think we are nearing the end of the Q&A. We are due to move to the next talk in about 3 minutes now.
I can fill 30 seconds or a minute of that with, I guess, one more maybe back and forth, and I'll try to be quicker this time. First of all, thanks for your kind remarks. But my question wasn't really about Windows so much. It was just how I'm relating so have you, let me put it more simply, have you started looking at integrating with Emacs 30 or with the master branch at all? Do you have any sense of how much work it's going to be for you to carry things forward there?
I've tested it with the pre-release, yes. I mean, just very basic testing, and everything works perfectly. There's really no there was no difference that I have noticed between 29.4 and the 30 pre-release on the aspects that awesome. I use, at least in Emacs.
Neato. Thanks. That was it, Leo.
All right.
Thanks for letting me back in for one more bite at the apple there. And I appreciate everybody tuning in and participating in the Q&A and this awesome talk.
Thanks for your questions. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah, and thank you for answering them and for the presentation as well. So we'll be moving in about 2 minutes to the next talk, which is pre-recorded as well. Well, we didn't really give you the chance, Eric, to have the last word. So do you have any last word?
Thanks to all the organizers, and please try out PGMax and send some feedback. That'll help improve it over time.
Sure, great. Well, thank you so much, Eric, for taking the time to come to the conference, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Bye, and we'll be live with the next talk in about 1:30. So we'll take a little bit of a breather. Go make some coffee, go take a bio break. We'll be back soon. See you in a bit.